What's good, Maria Zimbabwe, and Chagago Mushe, Zimbabwe Mushe, Kwazwaz, Maria Zimbabwe. Welcome to The Connection, a Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related. The podcast you're tuned into right now is Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7, Voice of America. And today, Maria Zimbabwe, is Tuesday, the 20th of October, 2020. Maria Zimbabwe, Chagago Mushe, Zimbabwe Mushe. I'm your host, Michael Bove. First order of business, Maria Zimbabwe, before we delve deeper into our program, Nathan Chirongwa, unfortunately, Silusi is Bichina Urombo, Maria Zimbabwe. Due to COVID-19, we're working from home. What this means is, unfortunately, we cannot give you this broadcast live as per usual, and you cannot tune in, you cannot join in to this conversation and call in as per usual. Nonetheless, and what this means is, you can still send us your feedback on WhatsApp, on our WhatsApp number, +1202-465-0318. Dio number ya mokwa nisa usutumira, maundre yu pa WhatsApp, +1202-465-0318. And this broadcast is also going to be available on our three Facebook pages soon after our radio broadcast, VOA Shona, VOA NWA, and VOA Studio 7. So for those that are going to be tuning in on our Facebook pages, please feel free to leave your comments in the comment section and we will see your feedback. Tonight on The Connection, we continue the conversation on COVID-19, umkhuhlane we coronavirus. We speak to young experts about how the global pandemic has impacted Zimbabwean youth. But in doing that, Shange Chizze, Nathan Chirongwa, Maria Zimbabwe, Shange Chien Ramberi, Chichitalisa, Kajur Kuitika, Pasirote, Chichitalisa, Jokare, Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, Kutinika, Zimbabwe, Iruku Kangani, Swa, Tse, Nature, Che, Coronavirus, Shange Chizze, Nyai, Neve Chitiki, Nyanji, Munyezo, Utano. We're also going to be looking at the current state of Zimbabwean education. The government school curriculum entered a week of four weeks in Zimbabwe, whereby schools have been open. However, what this means is students have not received a formal education in 4 weeks due to the fact that the teachers are not in class right now. They're still currently protesting. They're protesting two things. Number one, their current salaries. As we speak, teachers in Zimbabwe are receiving an average of $45 per month, of which, as highlighted by Melissa Chimwana, one of my guests on the show last week, they're not even receiving it as hard cash in US dollars. They're receiving it in as a direct deposit into their bank account, which is coming in local currency, that being bond notes. So for them, they're saying that they want to receive an equivalent of at least $500, that is, if they're not receiving a $500 hard cash. So another thing that they also are protesting is the fact that in the country they're saying that there is not enough PPE within all these schools. So schools have entered week four. However, a lot of schools that are under the government sector have not received PPE or do not have enough PPE, especially in the rural areas. So that is not the only revelation that we're looking to focus on. We're also looking to reveal that Zimbabwe has experienced an increased amount of teenage pregnancies under the lockdown period. This is for different reasons, amongst them being something that teachers are going to be touching on, and of course other women's rights advocates. They're going to be touching on why there's been this sudden spike in teenage pregnancies under the lockdown period. So we look to hear more of that later on. But first up, umkhuhlane we COVID-19, Chirwere che coronavirus. According to Johns Hopkins University, over 14,480,000 people worldwide have contracted COVID-19. I repeat again, over 14,480,000 people worldwide have contracted coronavirus. Approximately 1,120,000 people have died due to COVID-19 worldwide, and from positivity in Maria Zimbabwe, over 27,740,000 people have recovered worldwide. So the worldwide figures, once again, are as follows. 40,480,000 people contracted coronavirus to date. and approximately 1,120,000 have died, and from positivity over 27,740,000 worldwide have recovered. Once again, this is a pre-recorded program, so by the time we go on air, if you go to these sites, there's a high possibility that these figures would have changed. However, that is the ballpark figure. According to the most recent tweet in Zimbabwe, Mudia Zimbabwe, the Ministry of Health, Zimbabwe currently has over 8,150 COVID cases, 232 deaths to date, and over 7,683 have recovered from COVID-19. So just to repeat the figures one more time, in Zimbabwe, according to the Ministry of Health, we currently have over 8,150 COVID cases. The death toll currently stands at 232, and the recovery rate is currently 7,683 people have recovered from COVID-19. Now, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health, once again, highlights that the cumulative amounts of tests have not been shown on their latest information release. However, 564 PCR tests were conducted just yesterday alone, 12 cases tested positive, and to date, 7,683 people have recovered from COVID-19. Yesterday, we witnessed a death. One person died due to COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. The country currently has 244 active COVID-19 cases. Now, a medical expert also was touching in on this. One thing medical experts are saying is Zimbabwe, do not take your foot off the gas pedal. Under Mudia Zimbabwe, so far, we've done so well in terms of managing coronavirus cases. They're urging Zimbabweans to continue taking the same strides in terms of preventing the spread of COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. So they're urging you to continue wearing your mask. They're urging you to continue washing your hands as regularly as possible. And they're urging you, make sure that you don't meet in your large numbers. Let's head over to a bite of that where we have courtesy of Professor Soluayo Ngwenya, who is the director of Mvelo Hospital, who touches on the possibility of Zimbabwe experiencing a second wave, and of course, to give advice to Zimbabweans to ensure that we don't continue spreading COVID-19. Let's hear more from Professor Soluayo Ngwenya.
By shooting the Gogama mask, the Wuti, the Kazis Anza, the Wuti Ninga Togo Zeli, the Fukana, the Nederis into La Pekinga Kun, just by Sarako, Umkusanalo, Kukana Suwea always civil. Where's Ninda, and now we are civil, Kukana Uti, we have Usula Manza. Just by Sarako, Van Dragit, the land, the Kunogela, which are on Hulumendi. Ama mask at Pagatega Kul, Sivonava Ning, Dua, Goga Gota, the Chiama Kalapans. Loko kuyingozi embi kakhulu. Siyalincenga abantu bakithi. Umkhuhlane lo uyayenelisa ukubulala abantu abaningi nxa singawunanzelelanga. Yikho libona lokhu esixwayisa khonapha emaredweni.
Professor Soluayo Ngwenya giving his feedback to Zimbabweans and Iowa, Mudia Zimbabwe, please, mhlakanganwe endrai mberi mchigeza maoko as regularly possible as you can, and mkana musina enu nyaye kubuda ne uwandu wenu, please, mhlakanganwe ne uwandu wenu, please, endrai mberi mchiteka mamaku kamuno buda. That was our Professor Soluayo Ngwenya. Now, if you're also wondering, Uti, what has the experience been like for Abantu Basakhulayo who have contracted Chirwele COVID-19, we also received a bite courtesy of Thabiso Kumete. Thabiso Kumete is one of the young Zimbabweans who has contracted coronavirus, and he explains as to what was his experience like. According to Thabiso, he says it wasn't even hectic. He didn't even realize he had COVID-19 until he got tested. Let's hear more from Thabiso Kumete as he basically breaks down his ordeal of what it was like contracting coronavirus and what symptoms he was showing.
Yeah, corona satholakala silayo sibili. Engakubonayo ukuthi mina kuya ngomzimba womuntu ukuthi umzimba yabe ugcine kunjani ngesikhathi sona yesethu etholakala elayo i-corona. Ngatholakala ngizange ngitshengisela any ama-symptoms emzimbeni ngaphandle kokuthi ngangitshawa likhanda kwesinye isikhathi. Kodwa-ke ikhanda lakhona ongeke washo lalo ngoba kwakuyikhanda lelo elijayelekileyo nje.
So many of Zimbabwe, you were hearing there from Uchabiso Fumete Ngempela, who was explaining his ordeal. Ebanjwa ngalo mkhuhlane we COVID-19 echasisa ngempela ukuthi yena he just felt a slight headache. It wasn't even anything drastic, and that's what made him realize that maybe I should get tested. He got tested for coronavirus, and he was explaining some of the symptoms that he had to go through. So those are some of the symptoms of people that have actually contracted coronavirus and what has happened. But now, experts are also highlighting another issue in Zimbabwe, which is the rural areas. Now, time and time again, we have had medical experts come onto this program, and they were saying that emaphandleni khanya ngani kulo duba sikumamisha ko kunengekunetikanyaya le pamsoro pekuthi mamirakaita ufumiwe nyika make it very difficult for vanhu vanogara kumamisha to receive the adequate necessary preventative clothing, such as masks, the PPE, necessary PPE, to ensure that they don't, partake in the spreading against coronavirus. We reached out to Nkosi Konadivi of Community Podium TV, who was recently in Cholocho and Lupane, and Nkosi Konadivi basically breaks down the deal of what he saw in these rural areas. And he also touches on what exactly they're experiencing when they talk about coronavirus, the water issues, and so much more. Let's hear more from Nkosi Konadivi.
In a day or two in Cholocho in Lupane, we noticed something that is different about the remote areas or remote communities when it comes to COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're talking about the Cholocho Business Center, there was a lot of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that there was less of PE.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every shop you would go into, you are likely going to be the only one wearing a mask because probably you are coming from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in our interactions with the local authority representatives there, you know, your councillors, they'll be saying, no, we just do the social distancing and we share information to people to say they should greet each other in public places, they should keep their distance, and you find that there is less activity that gathers people in the rural communities. Mostly it's people within their homesteads and also maybe going to fetch water, of which people, ideally, the councillor was saying people would respond better to those instructions, which is this thing, the killer disease, let's guard ourselves, it's easier for them. So you find that PEs are expensive. Most of the people in the homesteads can't afford at all. They could try maybe the clothes, but they are saying we'll try to do the social distancing for the center. There was no one was actually wearing a mask that I saw. It was just the issues of around social distancing. So I was ready to see that I am just entering this shop without having someone by the door sanitizing. So these are the issues around, probably, in my view, around incapacitation, economies of scale, where people can't afford to be sanitizing, like local businesses in Cholocho can't afford to be sanitizing all the time. And also, without support, really, external support, many businesses can't afford. Because speaking to each, the case when we were there was no electricity. So they were hustling around, making sure that you don't get loose stuff because there's no electricity. Say you are running generator 5 minutes, every 10 minutes you are switching it off and on and things like that. So you find that the economy is there. It's completely different. The lifestyle there is completely different. Hence, when we are fighting COVID-19, we should consider how we actually assist and capacitate these local communities with the required PEs. That would be handy.
Now, let's delve into the healthcare sector within the areas. We see in big cities like Harare, Bulawayo, some hospitals and clinics actually got to a certain point whereby they shut down because of lack of PPE being one of the generating and pushing factors behind it. Which makes me wonder, with the Emapan areas, what is it? So what are the local hospitals and clinics doing there?
Actually, we had an interaction with a guy who had a health challenge right there in Cholocho. So the local clinics don't have much. They can't assist much, like, on the basis, really. So you have to be transferred to Cholocho Hospital, that is in the center of Cholocho. But you find that the issues are the same. They'll still refer people to Pilo Hospital, of which Pilo Hospital is where we are, and we know that it's incapacitated already. So you find that in that chain, there's serious challenges. The challenges that we actually face in the city are worse in the remote areas, because all those people with critical conditions are referred into the cities, and the cities are already incapacitated. So it's a crisis that we have. And when you are talking about in the context of COVID-19, I'm sure, because some of the residents that we spoke to were speaking around issues, we'll drink those herbal, any flu, or banibani. That's how they feel they can sustain this whole pandemic.
Which then begs the question around the information. Are they receiving enough information about COVID-19?
Well, they are not receiving enough information about COVID-19. Many would refer to radio and say, we hear about it in the radio, we read about it on WhatsApp, but there's nothing that probably has been done at a local level, particularly in Cholocho, to then say, this is what we're doing, and this is what council is doing, this is what headmen are doing, and things like that. So you find that there could be information gaps there, but however, maybe there's a way of handling the COVID-19 pandemic as it were. So they will tell you about, we've got this satellites and this hair. So right. We shouldn't worry ourselves. Should you need some, you can have.
Right. Which then leads me to my next point. I see you touched on the comparison early on between what's happening in the big cities and in the rural areas of Mapanjin. We know in big cities, for example, one big issue is the water shortages. Both Harare, Bulawayo, a lot of major cities in Zimbabwe right now are facing water shortages, which can only make me wonder once again, what are people in the rural areas doing? Are they facing the same challenges?
Yes, they are facing the same challenges. I'll speak to one ward in Lubane that we visited, that is Ward 26. Wow, there is no water there. This whole climate change thing and the water sources are very limited. A whole ward will have like two boreholes, so it means you have to walk like over 8 kilometers to just get water. So you find that when we are now talking about washing hands, when we are now talking about COVID-19 awareness, some of these things get to be really irrelevant to them, because accessing just water to drink is a milestone, it's an achievement. You say, I've gone and I've got a 20-liter bucket, I'm back. It's like we've achieved something. So you find that in communities, it's very dire. We talk about Bulawayo, where we usually get water from our taps, but in the communities, it's actually worse, because the wells that they used to have are drying up, so they need to dig deeper. You find that in that ward, the councillor was actually highlighting that they have to go up to 100 meters to get water. Usually they would get it at 35. So those wells dry up. So you need to go dig deeper for you to access water. So it's a crisis that we have. And looking into the city, it's the same issues right now, COVID-19. I'm not sure whether I can call it second wave, but yesterday, out of the 37 positive cases, 20 were in Bulawayo, so I'm not so sure whether we are sliding back into that issue, or because water is not there, some of us get it wet, and we are so because that fire has gone for quite more longer periods without water. And now the question is, if we say let's wash our hands, how? The question is how. Where do we get the water? What can be done to assist in the where people get water, where people queue to get water, and things like that.
Now, to pull you back to the conversation on PPE, I was reading some of the, I follow Community Podi on TV a lot, and I have been reading some of the articles that you guys have highlighted and focused on the things that are being done in Chololo, for example, with regards to PPE. Are there any initiatives that are being done that are helping the communities with regards to receiving PPE, be it water donations and so forth?
Yes, in communities you find that there are people who donate mostly PPE. Some actually recommend the material clothes. So there was a well-wisher who actually donated to a school because the school didn't have PPE. Like completely, and they were already having from force that were coming in preparation for their examinations by December. So you find that parents can't really contribute in those remote areas to say we need money for per student to pay for PEE, but where we have then come in, chip in and say, okay, we can at least give you this much of sanitizers, this much of PE, just to cater for the few that are in the school, that is the exam writing classes. But you find that, according to the government schedule, by mid-November, everyone should be back at school. But the question is, are schools ready for that? In the cities, well, the schools just push the cost to the parents, but how about in the remote areas? What are we going to do?
Which then leads me to that question, of course, with regards to the schools. We see right now a lot of teachers, especially those that work in the rural areas that are under the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, are saying they're not going to school. Why? Because of the low salaries, but also the fact that they say that the schools are not ready to be opened because of lack of PPE. When you were in Chololo and you went to some of these schools, what did you see?
Most of the schools had at least two people, usually the headmaster and the senior teacher only.
Mm-hmm.
That is from the three schools that we saw. Mm-hmm. Those are the only people that were there. The teachers were not there. So, however, the school students still come to school because it's difficult. After speaking to some of the students, they will tell you it's not possible for me to sit at home and say, there are no teachers. Parents will say, no, schools are open. You've overstayed at home. Go to school. You know. And then you find in this school in Chololo, that is what 12, the kids were meandering around with nothing to do, with two people at school, and they can't control all of them. So you find that we can say schools are open. And yes, you can say examining people that are sitting for exams this year are actually in class preparing for those. But the case on the ground is there's nothing of that happening. So why risk and say kids go to school without the necessary PEs, without the assistance that they would require from their teachers? So that's the issue now. And parents listen to what is being said on the radio and tell the kids to go to school. And the teachers have made it clear that they are not going to school, citing some of these issues around PEs in light of COVID-19. So it's a case where we might need stakeholders to sit down and see what is practical and how it can be done, because PEs in rural schools are not there. It's only well-wishers that chip in, like one who did in what 8 in Chololo and supplied the PEs to the school for a certain period and for a specific number of students. So you find that without that kind of assistance, it's a risk for us to open the schools in this scenario.
And even in the case that you're citing, the PPE being given, was that enough for the whole school, or is it just for a specific number?
It was just for a specific number, actually not more than 50, I think. Not more than 50, and the sanitizers were not so much, probably just over 5 liters. And that's sustainable for a short period of time. And what comes after that, no one knows. The head of the institution doesn't know what to do. And the students are all there, and they know there's COVID-19, there's need for sanitizing, and there's need for masks. Obviously, some didn't get the mask because they were so few. So that's the crisis we have.
As we teach you, Dabalolo, Molumiluwa, Mama, Nungzana, Tiviti, usanda ukutshela ukuthi ube wafika ngale etshelotsho njalo ngabe lupani awusitshele ukuthi abantu izakhamizi zalezo zindawo bathini ngokumemetheka komkhuhlane we-COVID-19 okwenzeka kulayo elizwe.
Abantu bemaphandleni kakhulu lapho etsholotsho laselupane yade sisebenzela khona coronavirus yesitobe zisegoli ngale i-coronavirus so yinto abasebeyizwile kodwa uhlupho olukhona yikuthi khona nakuthiwa akugqokwa amamaski nakuthiwa emavinkilini lapho akusanitize abavinkili akhona ala imali zokuthi bekwanise ukuthi besanitize njalo lokho okwenziwa emadorobheni uzathola ukuthi na ukuhamba njeasetholotho business center laphana kukalutshwana ukuthi ungene amashophu engawangenayo anzayi ngibone kusanitizwa ngoba osomabhizinisi bakhona babekhuluma ukuthi vele thina silezi nkinga zethu amagetsi ahamba 2 weeks kwezinkathi 1 week so sebezama ukuthi bebone ukuthi ama-fridge ayasebenza lanani so yifani ukuthi indawo leyana ilama-challenges njalo nasesibuya ku-coronavirus kule cost ehamba lakhona ukuthi sokufanele ukuthi kube lama-PEs sesithola ukuthi lasemaclinic ama-PEs akula uthole ukuthi izakhamizi azilama-PEs sephonge ukuvala ngakhonko abalapho nxa besiza ezindaweni ezinjengabodolobheni so khonkhana kungani ukulwisa kwethu umkhuhlane lowo ngani akusoze kunede kakhulu especially ezindaweni ezisemaphandleni ngoba akula engathi ama-resources achaneliweyo ukuthi ancedise indawo lezi abantu besiliswe kulowo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19.
Isikhathi yito sesiwe ngumango wegibiti sigqiba phela ingxoxo yethu siyezwa phela ingcwethi kwezempilakahle abakhokhela udokotela Solwane Ngwenya besithi hayi umkhuhlane lo khange ngani ngesingisi singathi sekule second wave usebuyile okwesibili sikhangele okwenziwa ngabatsha ulawo yinamazwi okuphosela kulabontanga okumayelana nokuvikela ukumemetheka kwalo mkhuhlane.
Hey, uprofesa Solwane Ngwenya bengingaxoxa laye inyanga ezidlule le khuluma ukuthi hayi man into leyo akumelanga ukuthi ingani siyayeyelela kumbe siyayeyekethi singanayisekho sesingani sesiphile impilo zethu kodwa imeseji yami kubantu abasha yikuthi khona ukugida sizagida next time but kathesi let's stay safe simake sure ukuthi i-lockdown liyana esike saba la yathi buhlungu kanti songani sokuvuleka sokumela abantu besike sikholise kodwa ngithi bantu abathayi asizameni ukuthi sike sibe kancane ngobubhubhane lona kuthiwa i-second wave baningi abantu abafileyo ku-first wave bantu ukuthi ku-second wave lathi sibalwe khona lapho kulalokho esingakwenza lathi ukuthi sizivikele njengabantu abasha asizameni sibe ukuthi siqinisele sincedisane i-messages sesizwile abanye sebeyizwe kakhulu abasafunda ukuyizwa but umkhuhlane we-COVID-19 ukusakhona asizivikeleni.
Ha, buri eZimbabwe ngasizwira kasom umnumzana unkosi khona Dibiti sithanda ukubonga unkosi khona Dibiti ngokungena kuhlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo. Buri eZimbabwe mangamutshinzwa kakubva kuna vankosi khona Dibiti sekondaba community podium TV kubulawayo ko vankosi khona Dibiti sakasitaura nawo vangari kubulawayo ko vangari kutsholotsho sorry vangari kutsholotsho nekulupane vakambotsvike kumaruwa uko vanga vachizeya nyaya dzakasiyana-siyana vachitsanangura kazvizvii zvavari kufanana nazvo kumamisha tikuonaka kuti tsamba dzakotanga kupinda apo pafacebook baba ruhove aiwa saibva tinotenda zvikuru nekupinda muchirongwa vari kukometa kapane zvambotaurwawo nankosi kona Dibiti vachiti hanzi kumamisha uko kune mishonga yakasiyana-siyana iri kushandiswa nevanhu baba ruhove vari kuti hanzi kunoko kune dark plant inonzi zumbane people are using it totality rinoshanda mukoma aiwa tinotenda nemaondero enyu tinofara kunzwaka kuti vanhu vari kutora matanho akasiyana-siyana tichaunzawo dzimwe nyanzvi totokurukura nezvenyaya iyoyo kuti kune vanhu vari kushandisa ma-ailments akasiyana-siyana tinombonzwa vamwe vanhu vachibata nyaya dzeginger tea vachiti hanzi aiwa kuno kutinombonwa ginger tea tinoona kuti inoshanda. Saka tichaunza nyanzvi munyaya dzeutano, tobata nyaya iyoyo, pamwe tichazounzawo tobata. Saka teerai, enderai mberi muri muchiuya pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki hoshedo T-Connection. Muineri Mike Hove.
Indupane Cholocho, a lot of households have been facing food insecurities due to human and wildlife conflicts and also climate change. In order to find out how these communities have been surviving, do check out the two documentaries by Community Podium. My name is Vigo 7, aka Mr. Gaga Gogo.
Shout out to Mr. Gaga Kuku. Analumlayezo lwake ne message yakabva kupiwa na Mzo 7. You heard that that's some of the work that Community Podium TV is going to be doing. So make sure you pay attention there. They're on our Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at a Community Podium. So make sure you check them out. Tichiripanya imwe chete muri Zimbabwe, also in the same discussion of COVID-19. There's some Zimbabweans here in the diaspora, Munomu, Mudunure, Washington, D.C., who are currently working together to fundraise and raise funds to help the healthcare sector of Zimbabwe. Sakabata umuwao, Tisangani, Renyasha Africa. So this organization is called Renyasha Africa. We reached out to the Vice President of Renyasha Africa, Takura Stella, who basically told me more about this initiative, told me more about the organization and how the amount of money they're raising. They're looking to raise $50,000 is going to help the Zimbabwean healthcare sector. So let's head over to an interview that I had with Takura Stella.
So Renyasha Africa is a non-profit organization based in D.C., Washington. Started by Deborah Nyasha Peters. She approached me and she said that she's trying to see how best she can help people back home, especially in the healthcare sector. After she had issues, she had some relatives who died because of, lack of healthcare. So she used that initiative to see if how best she can use the resources that are out here to send some equipment and also coordinate with different medical providers. So there are different initiatives in Nyasha Africa, but the first one really is just to see how best we can send out medical equipment to help medical doctors in Zimbabwe.
Now, the healthcare sector in Zimbabwe seems to be on the spotlight right now. And one of the things that seems to be most affected by it, of course, is the whole coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. Is there anything specific that you guys are looking to help with in terms of managing COVID-19 better?
So what we've done is we are looking at sending out equipment that includes gloves, PPE, but also to send out some other equipment because COVID-19 is the world's most talked about pandemic right now. But we do have other issues, health related issues that are affecting the people, we've got kids that are dying because they are lack of incubators. They also lack of good sanitation. So we're trying to see how best we can incorporate everything on a health basis because just like with COVID-19, it's affecting people that have comorbidities. So if you are having issues already pre-existing conditions, you are highly, gonna be one of the people at high risk. So we want to see how best we can prevent that from happening by sending out equipment and also some health products.
Now, for you personally, you mentioned how there's of course Deborah Peters running the initiative. What made you want to partake in something like this?
Okay, so for me, I'm a doctor of chiropractic, so I'm in the healthcare sector, and I do have friends back home. We were planning to launch actually a program called As and Beyond. So it's a healthcare-based program that is integrated with medical personnel and non-medical personnel in the healthcare sector. So we're gonna do some outreaches starting in Shirugwe with my friend who's his name is Dr. Arnold Teramunga. He's based in Shirugwe. So I'm talking to Nyasha about it to say, okay, this is what we're trying to do in October. But she again talked to me about the initiative to send equipment back home.
So why I saw it beneficial for us to work together to, you know, to start the initiative here so that we can help, you know, programs like, you know, Athens Beyond back home. So that's the reason why I, you know, I teamed up with Nashua.
So this initiative, in essence, will also be helping the Athens Beyond project?
Yes, it will be helping because for the Athens Beyond project, we are going in and we are offering our COVID-19 testing. We are also offering some other, healthcare programs like diabetes testing, hypertension, and also giving people like, consultations, even HIV testing, and some other health-related conditions. So with Athens Beyond, eventually we want to open up some clinics. It could be mobile clinics and then one big clinic. But we're trying, to go into remote areas to help them out. So that's where Nyasha Africa comes in, where, we're trying the best that we can to work with some medical programs here that offer non-profit programs that offer like medical equipment that will help us, get us equipment back home and then distribute it to different healthcare providers.
Now, outside of just sending equipment to Zimbabwe to help the healthcare sector, is there anything else that you guys are going to be doing with this initiative?
Yes. So we are planning to see how best we can work with the e-health system. So we are looking at a system in Zimbabwe. We do have electronic health records now in the world. So we're planning to see how best we can send out that information because having an electronic health record system can help in terms of communication, in terms of different programs that are happening with different countries. So like for me, I'm a chiropractor, but for me to send information to different medical doctors in their home is difficult. But if we have a database that can just send out information about neuromuscular conditions, that will be helpful. So that's what we're trying to do. Send, put up a communication hub for medical doctors and healthcare providers.
So is this more along the lines of just communicating, or is it along the lines of education? How would that e-health system work?
So it will have a communication and education aspect. So different, like right now in the States, they are offering like free seminars, healthcare seminars, and with continuing education. That way, different providers will be certified in different areas. But, in Zimbabwe right now, the main thing is to survive. And everybody's trying to look for, some food to eat, but they're not trying to look at how best they can, be healthy for them to look for the food to eat.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taku, this is a youth program, so I'm more curious about the youth aspect to it. Is there anything special or anything particular to this whole initiative that is youth, that could be youth-driven?
Yes, so myself, I'm interested in the young adults and the youth. So for the nation to be healthy, we need to educate our young people. We need to also give them the necessary information, especially fitness, eating healthy. That's another thing that's lacking, where we don't talk about it that much in our communities, and we need to help those initiatives and talk about them, promote them through sports, promote them through dance, through culture. That's the main goal, to go in and capture the young generation and get them to change their lifestyle in general.
Tichitarisa ndambotsane kuralika chirongwa chirongwa chevanhu vechidiki. Pane zviripo here pachirongwa ichi zvakanangana nekubatsira vechidiki Zimbabwe?
Yes, Chinema Youth Initiation Programs, we anoda kudzidzisa vana vechidiki kuzvibata nekuzvichengetedza mwiri wavo eating healthy, vachidya chikafu chine utano, nekuve also vanoexercise vachimhanya nekuenda kujimu.
Saka zvino ndikuona chirongwa ichi mune GoFundMe page, zvichireva kuti makatarisira kushanda pamwe chete nevanhu pasi rose vanhu vakasiyana-siyana. Mungatiudzawo zvizere pakuti chii chakaita kuti muchivimbo chekuda kushanda nevamwewo vanhu pachirongwa ichi?
So go up on me page here. Name organization on the MedShare. So MedShare, you know, occupy my equipment and this like pushing my hospitals, machine, my blood pressure, and then I pay my hara and then most of Batara Kushiba Kumba. Saga town as a garden of the team, but then Ivano, Zimbabwe, one of the passages of Tungo Ganita, Tirakito Sunichi, Chidi Musha Muese, and then Timona Kubatara, Nuti, Sarasin was its one end.
Saka Maria Munangan, Changi Mchungan is ending his day, but there are chakra sins, Rupa, medical state of Bab.
And the Kubatra Zukenda was Zimbabwe and Kubatra Judy, but at Kubatara Kutabe, Kutenga Zinzach, Chungu Batra Kuin de Sakumba. But not if I was to Utraga, Mamma Dogotera, and my list is in Sakuda, and then 20 Koko, Chatora, even one Kumo, my volunteers, to donate a packaging from my offices, Avo, to Atlanta.
Alright, Muriel Zimbabwe, you just heard this from Sakura Tsela of Nyasha Africa, an organization based here in Washington, D.C. Barukwe Zakapu Unganiza, $50,000 to make sure kuti Marie Ichasaliswa Mokosimuzira, Utano, Nyazo Utano, Zimbabwe, to the healthcare sector in Zimbabwe. Uhlelo D-Connection, Mwineli Michael Muriel Zimbabwe, Tinoru Urombo. Musikwanise kupinda mchirongwa semazuwa ose zisine itiripano zisose you can send us a text for WhatsApp for number zina simple plus 1-202-465-0318
Bagiti salivu nyanyi anyazi kutu kukwa ito diya ping relax kika ngane kanyane ngacho kuinto loku kuya kesha mwoto ake ay minyani kukwa jing manga lumang gena lako kuya wayo I don't know what we need to get it. I'm like a Jolly Mushroom. If I go with my situation, that is the devil. I'm like a Mugupe, a Makana Pai, that is. How Makanina went away? Oh, Makanina. I better get you. We are going to go with the other two, but told me to talk to Faginai, Fakani, the Kanina. Elumulimi, pelo makanika nokulimulimi kumbe into abayithatha ngapi. Kodwa bakithi ngiyacela, let's try and do the right thing. Kuthi uhamba loko kuyinto kuhambe kodwa kungahambi nathi. Sihlale sivalile makhala lawo nomlomo kuyimasi kuthe mba. Sigeze izandla sisanitize always. Yikwesho kupreachayo ukuthi ma ukhwehlela kwathiwa kima muntu akhwehlele lapha ukuthi lelo gcugwane lungabhebhetheki mhlawumbe kuyabe lukhona bakwazi ukuthi sisindise abanye abadizane nathi. Let's always listen to the rules. Mask mba, sanitize, senze izinto kahle. Ciao bangani bami.
Shout out to Mashela Kobokobo, prominent comedian in Zimbabwe. And the footage you just listened to is courtesy of our site, our broadcasting outlet in Bulawayo. Shout out to them for letting us use their footage. Now, earlier on, I touched on the fact that we also look to focus on what's happening in the schools. One of the discussions recently prominent in Zimbabwe since the fact that Zimbabwean schools closed early throughout the year, one thing they touched on is the fact here, which is a lot of students have now had to shift their studies online, not just high school students, not just preschool students, but including university students. So we reached out to an education expert who touches on several factors that is regarding Zimbabwe, the current state of Zimbabwean education. He focuses on how COVID-19 has affected Zimbabwean education. Here we touch on several different things, including e-learning, the current state of the education system, and what's happening with teachers. Let's head over to our expert to hear his thoughts on it.
Well, the COVID lockdown has really shaken us to the core. I think a lot of things that we took for granted have turned out to be not as clear as we thought they were. But maybe before we got there, it's important to have a small reflection on the journey we have walked over the past couple of years. If you look on a high level, just look at the ordinary level exams, you find that since 1984, between 70% and 80% of our young boys and girls in the public schools fail to get 5 ordinary levels and more. And over time, we've always noticed that there's a profound gap between the knowledge and skills that our students learn in the public schools, and for that matter, the knowledge and skills that they are required to have in the 21st century communities and workplaces. When you look at this, we have roughly 200 to 250,000 16-year-olds plus minus that fail to get 5 ordinary levels every year, coming to about 1 million. And when you look at it since 1984, that's quite a huge number of our youngsters. During COVID lockdown, it has allowed a lot of education entrepreneurs to reflect and look at these numbers and start to ask ourselves, why do we actually have our people going to school if 80% fail? What do we teach them? Those that pass whatever our exams become, maybe come up with skills and knowledge that is relevant to the life and community that they find themselves facing. And for that matter, how do they learn and where does the learning take place? But let's come back to the e-learning issue that you talk about. Ministers of Education generally have a mandate that seeks to provide equitable access to quality education to all its citizens. And for you to be able to provide equitable access, you then need to have certain infrastructure available to the majority of your people. When you look at the e-learning requires certain infrastructure to be implemented to connectivity. The last survey we did in Zimbabwe, that was about in 2018, revealed that out of the 9,500 schools with an enrollment of 4.5 million learners, you could find that about 1,000 of these schools were on ADSL. Do you remember the COPPA, our old COPPA, which Telwan is rolling out or rolled out? We had a number of about 1,000 of those schools. Then about 500 old schools on fiber, and another plus minus 750 schools on Wi-Fi. Another 500 schools between LTE and some radio link. So all in all, we are looking at 2,750 schools with some form of connectivity, which is under 30%. And therefore, you can't even begin to talk of equitable access to quality education being anchored on e-learning when no more than 30% of your school is your, should I say, point of a reference or presence in communities is sitting at such a low rate. And this is just at a school level. We haven't even gone at household level.
Right.
I can only tell you that it gets worse when you start looking at the numbers. We are sitting at about 4 million households, and a small fraction of them have broadband connectivity. Yes, a large part of our country is covered by a mobile telephone, but that's really on voice. The moment you drive 40, 50 kilometers out of a major settlement, you start struggling to get any form of internet connectivity on these mobile telephones. In any case, many of the people cannot even afford. So access is first physical access to the platform, but also secondly, economic access. So even if you have the connectivity and cannot afford, you are no worse off than the person who actually does not have, because both of you can access the service that actually consumed using that platform.
I was looking at some of the figures not so long ago, a couple of weeks back, that were released by Fortress, where they were talking about the mobile subscriptions in the country. And they're reporting that this stuff has actually increased. But what does it mean? Because they're talking about the social sites like WhatsApp and so forth, saying that more people are using this. But how does this translate anything in terms of e-learning?
And I think we need to understand that e-learning is not pushing information. Learning is not pushing information. It's a highly interactive, engaging process that makes use of highly complicated technology that operates behind the scenes. Now, I'm not about to understand where the basis of what Potras is talking about. But I can tell you right now, working with the learners at home and 20 years working in schools, the majority of these people cannot afford. And a lot of them actually are in areas where there isn't any reliable connectivity to the internet. Yes, they may have access to voice telephone, but certainly the closest they have is probably some 3G, let alone 4G. You only find 4G in selected areas, Harare, Bulawayo, Victoria Falls. Yes, the majority of our people are actually outside these areas. The statistics are there, the numbers are stubborn. Out of the 9,500 schools, Harare has no more than 650 schools. Mm-hmm. Bulawayo has no more than 300 schools. And when you take Manicaland, for instance, with about 1,400 schools, the majority of the schools are further away from the district centers like Mutare District, Rusape, Chipinge, Chimanimani. They are back in the rural areas.
Sandubonga, umnumzana Itai Masimiremba, Nakupinda Mchurongwa, Mazunziraga, Muria Zimbabwe. From Itai Masimiremba, he is education entrepreneur or an education expert. Bangachinato Zeaga, Yai, Ye, learning Russia, Nemaundrago, Sezo, Zunzagawanda, Mzimbabwe, Steza, Maria Gawanda, especially for Shobatanya data. We are Zazia, infrastructure, and e-learning in English, say, for the full interview, please go to our website, www.boazimbabwe.com. Vam Masimiremba gives a full in-depth explanation as to what needs to be done to ensure that next time there's a global pandemic, Zimbabwe is more prepared and the education sector works out better. But earlier on, I also touched on the fact that which is also being accredited to the COVID-19 lockdown, and of course, recently, a lot of organizations, teachers' organizations included, have revealed that there's been an increase in terms of amount of teenage pregnancies in the country, one of them being the COVID-19 lockdown, and of course the fact that teachers are not in school, a lot of students are getting up to no good. Let's head over to a member of PTUZ, Takabasira Joe, who explains to us via telephone what exactly is happening in Mosukoro, Uyeze, why there's been a spike in terms of teenage pregnancies. That's Ibrahimon Rao.
Takaita ongororo ma four provinces. And chatakawa na kuma four provinces yao, ndicho kuti ma pregnancies ano range from 1,500 to 2,500. Saka on average, takaona kuti zvinoreva kuti vana 2,000 per province, vane pamviri. Saka tichitarisa izvozvo, tikazotora kuti tine 10 provinces. Tawakuchi aplaya, tashandisa maprovinzi, atakashandisa fwa. Zvinoreva kuti tine vana vanopfuura 20,000 vakaita pamuviri panguva yakubva pakavharwa zvikoro kusvika pari zvino. Chikurukuru chandingada kuti nditaure ndechekuti zvikoro zvakavharwa muna March pasina hurongwa hwakajeka hwekuti tidzidzise macommunity nevana vechikoro kuti vaonewo kuti kudzidza kune chiedza mune ramangwana. Saka vakawanda vanga vasina any form of entertainment, pasina yatingati pedagogical yokera contact nevana, vakazofara havo nezvikomba vakaita pamuviri. Zvekare vana vari kuona vamwe vari kumberi kwavo vachiratidza kuti havana zvavanoita, saka vanongoonawo sekuti chikoro hachina basa. Asi zvikurukuru zvatinoona sekuti ndo zvakaipa kuti vakawanda vaite pamuviri tichibudikidza netsvakurudzo dzedu sekuti vana vakanzva kutaura nehurumende kuti iko zvino chero ukaita pamuviri unokwanisa kuti urande uri kuchikoro uchidzidza zvako. Kuvana havana vakawanda havana kuzoona sekuti kuzvidzivirira chinhu chikuru, vakaona sekuti hapana zvinovakonesa kuti vaende mberi kunyange zvavo vakaita pamviri.
Alright, Maria Zimbabwe, you just heard from Vatakalasira Joe, Vesangano, Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. Vangwachisanangura Maundra Avo, he was basically explaining his thoughts and his take on why there's been an increase in teenage pregnancies. One thing he focuses on is the fact that when schools closed back in March, he said that there was no actual program set in line which was going to help a lot of these young teenagers in terms of ensuring that they kept busy. And because of that, they ended up in situations whereby there were their sugar daddies and so forth. Tukuonaka babaruo vanyura zvakare hanzi mukoma maiti zvinosiririsa zviri kuno kunyanya panyaya dzenhumbu hanzi vana vachiri vadiki ava uye zvinotivhiringidza mafamily set up edu. Aiwa tinotenda babaruo nemaondoro enyu. Sakanga nemuri yeZimbabwe +12024650318 is the number you can text us or WhatsApp kana muchida kutipa maondoro enyu. But now, women's rights organizations also stepped in on the conversation. Over time, we've had conversations surrounded around gender-based violence. And throughout these conversations, one thing they've also revealed and highlighted is the fact that there has been an increase in teenage pregnancies, and this is based on because of gender-based violence. And of course, a lack of access to our contraceptives. That's another thing that we focused on last week. Where we had our medical expert, Constantia Mawoza, and she was highlighting that. Let's head over to a conversation, to a clip that I have, which was sent to us by the actress Isala Girl Cruz, whereby she focuses on that and reveals what exactly is happening and why there's been an increase and how the COVID lockdown has contributed to the increase in teenage pregnancies.
We're talking about the impact of COVID-19. We have seen a lot of women and adolescents, I would say, failing to access essential sexual and reproductive health services, the gender-based violence services. As you know, there's a period where there was not enough PPE in institutions like clinics and hospitals. And our organization actually works in hard-to-reach areas like farming and mining communities. So you would have, service providers turning away young people. If you don't have anything life-threatening, if you're not dying, if you're not bleeding, nobody's going to attend to you. So if you want a condom, you were not able to get it at an institution. Or if you wanted, maybe counseling services or HIV, critical services like HIV testing, you would not get that. You'd be turned away. So it's really impacted. We witnessed and recorded increased cases of teenage pregnancies, increased cases of sexual and gender-based violence that have been reported. So that has been the impact of COVID-19. But we've also gone a step further to sort of respond to such issues. Like you asked earlier, what have we been doing besides other services that I talked about? As an organization, we have been going to communities to do what we're calling mobile clinics. So we go with health personnel, we provide them with the necessary support, with necessary PPE. Then we go to communities where people are and where people need the services. Since they can't get the services from the clinics, then we're taking the services to the people. And we found that to be very helpful, not only for adolescents or the youth, but also for women and the under fives, because we're providing comprehensive services where, if a mother or a young woman comes with a child, they also get services, family planning services.
The youth, there's been an increased amount of teenage pregnancies. Earlier on, we heard from Mr. Takalasira Joe explaining, saying this could be, the closing of schools added to that. And we actually also explained that the COVID lockdown added to that. Bwana kwalamsha muri eZimbabwe mutsakazo musosekufikile emapeseleni wohlelo lwethu labasakhulayo tasvika kumagume echirongwa chedu chanhasi. Ndinoda kutenda all the people who added to this conversation. Sakangano kana muchitauti pamaondori munokwanisa kutumira mamessage edu pawhatsapp panumber 0 +12024650318. Sesvikile emapeseleni ohlelo lwethu labatsha muri eZimbabwe. Feel free to chat with me at BigMike3, BIGMYKE3, and on Twitter and Instagram. So sangana, same time, same place, lapha kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo. Sangana phano, panephenyule studio 7, same time, same place, next week. Anokonekani mfaro, ndine wangu Michael Wey, muri wa Zimbabwe, mpaka kwa mwishe, bye bye! We'll be right back.